The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Andy Wint, the nation's station, Manx Radio.
Six minutes past 12. Good afternoon. Thanks for tuning in to The Man in Line today. You can call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Email studio at manxradio.com. Well, this time yesterday, there was every type of rumour flying around the Isle of Man about somebody who tested positive for COVID-19. And yesterday it was all cleared up. There was confusion, a review of the self-isolation tests and the rules, and more capacity for the test centre. The government's latest coronavirus media conference, it was yesterday, it's every Thursday now. Here's what happened.
The headline from yesterday's conference really was, let's clear up all this confusion. It's as there was a suspected new case of COVID-19 reported, but it turned out to be a false positive at-home test. Chief Minister Howard Quayle explained.
An individual contacted our 111 line to tell us that they had received a positive result to a private test. They had chosen to do this ahead of travelling off-island. As a precaution, we issued that individual with a direction notice instructing them to self-isolate for 14 days along with other members of their household. Because the result was from a private test and not carried out through our official testing service at Nobles Hospital, we immediately offered the individual a second test using our professional and robust PCR system. I am pleased to report that this second test has returned a negative result. The individual and their household will continue to isolate before a third test on Sunday. If this also returns a negative result, the direction notices will be lifted.
The situation was further complicated when insurance company Zurich's Douglas office imposed some precautionary restrictions, which we were assured by the Health Minister, David Ashford, was not linked with this case.
In relation to Zurich, my understanding is it isn't the supposed positive case that worked at Zurich. It's one of the high-risk contacts that was identified off the back of them. And they have all been tested as well. We've got four of those seven high-risk contact test results back so far, and they are all negative as well. Certainly, there was no advice given to Zurich by the Department of Health and Social Care or Public Health of the measures they had to take. That is something they decided as a business that they wanted to do as a precautionary measure.
So the current numbers are five active cases, all of whom are isolating, which means there are currently no confirmed cases in the community. There are 81 people waiting for tests and 21 awaiting results. And speaking of tests, the Chief Minister says the island now has the capacity to undertake up to 800 tests a day, compared with the previous 300 per day.
At the start of this pandemic, we had no on-island testing capability, instead being reliant on laboratories in the United Kingdom. We worked quickly to purchase the right equipment and consumables and were able to offer up to 300 tests a day on island. We have since invested further and now have the capacity to carry out 800 COVID tests each day. Our strategy is simple. Test, test, test. Trace, trace, trace. If you cast your minds back to June, you may remember that government published Stay Responsible and sent a copy to every household. It set out a four-level framework that we would use based on the number of cases of COVID-19 in our community. Since the 15th of June, we have been on level one, which we call Stay Responsible. This was when social distancing ended. We remain on level one. We will remain at level one for as long as the rolling 3-day average of COVID-19 cases in the community is between 0 and 5.
Another interesting aspect of this conference came from Mr. Ashford, who said a review is being undertaken to look at when tests should be taken in that self-isolation period.
But in terms of the testing, there will be a paper hopefully going to council and ministers next week. We've got to remember with 7 day in test, it was there for a purpose. The reason we had the 7 day in test was people could pay for the test and then they could exit their full isolation. Yes, they were still restricted, but they could do other things. If we are sticking with the rigid 14 days, which is what we've introduced now, then although testing would give us the information, it wouldn't be necessarily of benefit to that individual. So we have to factor all that into the testing as well. But certainly, like I say, I mean, Dr. Glover went to Twitter when we got rid of the 7 day in test. And I did an interview with Manx Radio, I think it was a couple of days after, where I said we would actually look at later potential testing. And I'm hoping that paper will come forward to council ministers next week.
And you can watch the full conference back again via Manx Radio's Facebook page and YouTube channel, or you can read a minute-by-minute update of the conference via our blog at manxradio.com.
I just wonder what your thoughts were yesterday after that, after the rumours that were flying around the Isle of Man. Suddenly, it was a false positive, and everything seems to be OK. Across the water, well, it's all going off. Lancashire's agreed to move to Tier 3, the top level of English COVID restrictions, from tomorrow. Lancashire into Tier 3. That's a very high alert level measure, including pubs being closed, a ban on household mixing indoors, in private gardens, and most outdoor venues. It is all about 1.5 million are going to be affected by the new rules. That includes Blackpool, Blackburn, Preston and Lancaster. And, of course, lots of Manx students are at Lancaster University as well. So that's from tomorrow. Lancashire is moving to Tier 3. And I just wonder what your thoughts are here. It just seems that we seem to be in a more and more privileged position as every day goes by. We also get, I have to say, and we also get lots of people saying that in normally 6 paragraphs, that this is all a big hoax and it's more of a hoax than the moon landing. Wasn't that real? Anyway, what are your thoughts? Text, email or call. Text 166177, email studio@manxradio.com. Call 66 13 68 on the man in line today. Oh, and talking of a scam, I don't know whether if you get your junk mail or you filter it out, but again, lots of people have sent stuff on to me yesterday about this American scam that's going on, Lottery USA. Apparently, everybody on the Isle of Man's won $2.9 million from the Powerball, the lottery in America, and it is a complete hoax. So if you do get an email from someone called Susan Jane Helm or Dr. Lydia Eden, it's a complete load of hogwash. And obviously, they want you to send your bank details, inside leg measurement, and anything else, really. So if you do get anything from Powerball, watch out. There are lots of hoaxes going around at the moment. It's third Friday of the month it is today. It's the 16th of October, which means that Isle of Man Farmers Markets is at Village Walk in Onchan today till 4 o'clock this afternoon. Village Walk in Onchan, Isle of Man Farmers Markets, and tomorrow the Ramsey Courthouse from 10 till 4, and on Sunday, the third Sunday of every month, are at Colby Football Club from 11 till 2. So today, till 4 at Onchan Village Walk, tomorrow the Courthouse in Ramsey, and on Sunday at Colby Football Club from 11 till 2, fruit, veg, pies, cakes, bread, pickles, honey, Manx honey, beeswax products and crafts and art as well. You can check them out also at the Isle of Man Farmers Market Facebook page. Well done to Devon Watson and Sam Hamer, elected to serve on Douglas Council on a hugely successful night for, and we don't get much of this in the Isle of Man, the Manx Labour Party. The pair, Mr. Watts and Mr. Hamer, will now represent Derby Ward constituency till 1st of May next year after receiving more than 50% of all the votes cast. The independent candidate, Amanda Walker, narrowly missed out, with Alan Buck of Liberal Vannin falling short as well. Turnout was almost 20%, 19.6%. Mr. Watson declared the outright winner by more than 50 votes. And Devon Watson spoke to our local democracy reporter, Chris Cave.
It wasn't me that won this campaign. The people who won this campaign were the tenants and workers of Derby Ward and Douglas. They've spoke out the fact that housing conditions, working conditions and environmental conditions are not good enough. And this was the easy part, and now it's time to fight for something better.
Housing was at the very heart of your campaign. Do you feel ultimately that that is the issue that won you this election?
I think it is, and I think what has to happen now is we have to do a serious amount of organisation, because this position in Douglas Council won't be able to solve the crisis. This is a national, international crisis, but we need to start fighting it at a local level. And the way we do that is by organising, and there's power within the tenants, and there's power within good landlords and power within folks who have the capacity to sort of fight for something better, and that's what we need to do.
Councillor Devon Watson, put into words how it feels.
It feels overwhelming. Having arrived in this country a few years ago, and the fact that my neighbours, my friends, the activist network, and the people of Derby have placed their trust in me. I think I am the youngest councillor elected on the Isle of Man, the first member of Generation Z elected in the Isle of Man. So it'll be exciting to see how I represent this and how it feels to go against the political machine.
And we will congratulate Devon Watson for his success in last night's by-election. Chris Cave also caught up with the second successful Manx Labour Party candidate, Samuel Hamer.
I hope that at the very least I can represent the people of Derby Ward to push the things that they believe in at the council level. And I'm hopeful that that even if I can't solve parking and if I can't solve the housing crisis in 6 months, that I can at least push the ball forward in some way.
Do you think it really was an advantage for you campaigning alongside Devon and going in there on a joint ticket? Isn't that the message from the electorate, you think, from this election?
I don't think it'd be fair to say that we were a joint ticket. We certainly, many people voted a cross ticket for me and Buck, Devon and Amanda Walker, and any other combinations.
So congratulations then to Samuel Hamer and to Devon Watson, elected to serve on Douglas Council on behalf of the Manx Labour Party. And I think we'll be hearing later on today from the Manx Labour Party grandee, the former MHK and MLC David Cretney, will be later on Manx Radio.
Prior to the lockdown, it was quite common that any visitor to the island without a fixed abode here that was found guilty of a serious offence would receive a five-year exclusion order in line and in conjunction with their sentence. And I think if they breached that, i.e. returned to the island within the five-year period, would receive an imprisonment or a very hefty fine. So as it stands, there's not a single person that has received this exclusion order. So effectively, that would mean that any one of these key workers that have come here could serve their sentence, pay their fine, do whatever, go off the island, and then come back and do exactly the same thing.
That's true. None of those who received custodial sentences were excluded from the Isle of Man. I just wonder whether you have any thoughts on that. That caller did, obviously. Andy, this is Jeff. Dropped me a note. Said, Andy, yesterday's briefing, the Chief Minister stated that air links would be maintained between the island and Liverpool, Manchester and London, which is great news. But it's not possible to book a flight between the Isle of Man and London City after the 30th of October, as the Loganair schedule doesn't show any flights beyond that date. And EasyJet has temporarily ceased serving the Isle of Man, which means that as things stand at present, the London link will be lost from the end of October. Loganair say that they're waiting for the Manx government to decide. Does anybody know what's going on? Thanks for that, Jeff. We've not received any confirmation of that, although, I mean, it may just be serendipity, but I saw a Loganair van this morning at Quarterbridge. Didn't know they got vans. But if you've tried to book a flight after the October the 30th, let me know how things are going with you. Pompey Pete said I'd like to congratulate Devon on his election, out canvassing in the heavy rain 2 weeks ago on Saturday. The only one we saw at our door. It's always good to see new blood in the political world, and congratulations to those brand new councillors. Of course, there is. The Onken by-election is on next Thursday. It seems to be beset by events, shall we say. It's all happening next Thursday. I had a dodgy email that said my Apple account needs updating. I don't have an Apple account, nor any Apple appliances. Ignore it, says Pam. It must be the weekend, I think, is when a lot of the scammers tend to blitz everything, and you may get stuff coming through. It's the old adage, really. If it looks too good, it is too good. Just bin it. How many students are coming back to the Isle of Man if we're unable to test 800 a week? And the students are returning at staggered times and self-isolating. Will they be able to go out at Christmas? Why not test them all on return? Nothing against students. I'm sure we all want to keep the island free from COVID. Do you think there should be a mass testing of students as well? Test, trace. The mantra from the Chief Minister yesterday. Oh, yesterday, by the way, did you hear Brian called from Onken yesterday, and Sue just wanted to make a comment. This is Sue dropped me an email and said, regarding David Ashford, MBE, Andy, a person ranted on the man in line yesterday with sour grapes against the government, I think, and turned some of the venom on David Ashford being recognised as an MBE. Just for doing his job, he said. But I think we need to take a good hard look at the rest of the world and compare their coronavirus status to ours. The Manx government, including David Ashford, who played a massive role, has kept us safe and almost clear of coronavirus. The person said that Mr. Ashford was awarded the MBE just for doing his job. But most MBEs, CBEs, OBEs, Dame and Knighthoods are awarded to people for their contribution through their jobs. Dame Judi Dench, an exceptional actress, was made a Dame because she was an exceptional actress. Many sports people are given titles because of their contribution through their jobs. I think David Ashford deserves his MBE, and if the person ranting doesn't think so, then he should go to the UK and see what he thinks of coronavirus there. Thank you, Susan. It's an opinion. It's also 23 minutes past 12.
Despite dark nights and chilly weather, Miller Chaps will help you stay cosy for less. At the Miller Chaps Autumn Sale, we've great savings on stressless chairs with free leather care kits. There's up to 20% off Parker Knoll. Amazing savings on sofas and beds you thought you could only dream of. And free underlay on selected sumptuous carpeting. Plus many more store-wide reductions at the Miller Chaps Autumn Sale.
Miller Chaps of Ramsey.
At Conister Bank, we've been helping local people for over 85 years, and we're here to help your businesses through this global pandemic. As a local bank, we can either stand by or stand up, and we choose to stand fast to our commitment to this island. If your business has been affected, we can help with our new working capital loan. With repayment terms over 1 to 6 years, for the first 12 months, you will only repay interest to allow your business time to recover. Apply online today at conisterbank.co.im. Terms and conditions apply.
Now at ShopRite, you can get our low prices on your favourite national brands, or you can switch and save with our huge range of buy Sainsbury's products for even lower prices. Choose from hundreds of products in store, with more arriving all the time. And the best part, you can enjoy savings of up to 50%. Compromising quality? We are talking Sainsbury's, and you can't say better than that. Sainsbury's at ShopRite. Proudly locally owned.
Typhoon House. Happily working to keep you working, whether from home or the office. We can keep your printer or copier fleet running in tip-top condition, whether there's a problem or simply making sure you don't run out of toner. Typhoon House also supply and install new devices, which are more efficient and cost-effective for you and your business. call 661-331 or email typhoon@typhoonhouse.im. Typhoon House.
For pizza, I settle for nothing less than the best. Pizza Napoli, with their wood-fired oven pizza that cooks in just 90 seconds once they've made it up. Nothing frozen, nothing microwaved. It makes me feel like I'm here in Italia, eating a delicious, authentic, tasting pizza in a cobbled square with music and...
Did you order from Pizza Napoli again?
It's free contactless delivery over £15. Call Douglas 813 100. Pizza Napoli in Ramsey and Douglas.
Another weekend means another chance to win here on Manx Radio. And this time, we could be sending you to the Currocks Wildlife Park.
We have an annual family pass to give away for the park, which is valid for two adults and two children. To win, all you need to do is take part in our winning weekend wordplay, which is on all day Saturday and Sunday. Get your name in the draw and we'll announce the winner on Monday's breakfast show at 10 to 9. So join us this weekend to win with the Currocks Wildlife Park here on the Nation Station.
This is the Isle of Man talking. The man in line.
26 minutes past 12. Good afternoon, Barry.
Good afternoon, Andy. How are you?
Good, thanks. What's on your mind? I think I know.
A lot, yeah. I work nights and I'm long up and I get up and I see there's an announcement in the news and certainly on the Manx Gas Facebook page regarding a so-called deal that's been hit with the government at the very last hour almost. So there's a few things I really want to say about this. First of all, I have run a campaign for the last 4 years to try to get the government and try to get Manx Gas to come together and eventually give gas customers a fair sort of a deal, if you like, or a fair situation moving forward.
It has to be said that government hasn't been deal hasn't been confirmed by government yet.
I understand, but I feel that I have to get my say in as well, because I don't like the way that this has come out at the very last hour. So this is really more of an appeal, really, to any political representatives that may or may not have a say on this when it hits Timwald on Tuesday the 20th. The so-called deal that Manx Gas are announcing all looks very good, but the problem is with this, if there is no time now to consider what these terms and what these conditions of this deal will be, you have to remember that Manx Gas and the government have been trying to negotiate a deal for 2 years plus now, and clearly they've been at loggerheads and haven't been able to do such a thing. So for Manx Gas to come out sometime this morning, I don't know when that is. As I say, I'm not up very long because I work nights. But for them to come out sometime this morning and say that at the very last hour a deal has been hit, on behalf of my members in my group that, you know, that demand fairness, we cannot accept that. And I think as well that if our government, who we are supposed to have some form of trust in, if they are to put this forward to Timwald at the very last hour now without allowing honourable members some time and means to study fairly what exactly all this means, it's not democratic, that, Andy. You know, we cannot accept that.
So, in words of one syllable, what do you think is happening then, Barry?
I call it a fudge. I think there's a fudge. I think there's a time when the government have to lead and other people have to follow. And, the government have tried for the last 3 years, and the honourable member of the Keys, Chris Thomas, who I have huge respect for, has worked so hard on this matter up until about 4 or 5 months ago, until he was removed from his position as policy minister. But he tried so hard to try to get a deal on this. And of course, the only losers with this all along have been the gas customers. You know, we have been the losers on all of this. But to say that on whatever today is, the 18th, the 17th, the 18th, of July, which is cut the weekend, and then 2 days before Timwald, when the order paper for Timwald is already out on Tuesday, where there's absolutely no mention of a deal, where the only way forward is to actually impose regulation on Manx Gas, to say that this is good news, or any news, or should even be in the news, or we should even be discussing right now, is absolutely, completely unacceptable, and it shouldn't be allowed. And the clerk of Timwald shouldn't allow this to proceed either, because it's not democratic, Andy. That's my opinion on it. It's not fair.
So what do you think will happen?
what I hope will happen is that there won't be a deal allowed to happen, because there's no time for Timor members to discuss this. There's no time for Timor members to find out what's going to happen after 2021, because this only mentions two years. It mentions this year where there'll be a rebate and then a similar pricing structure, if you like, for 2021. There's absolutely no mention what's going to happen in 2022. There's absolutely no mention what's going to happen commercial customers about whether they're going to be regulated under any new deal or whether they're not. There's too many unknown, far too many unknown. There's absolutely no mention of the social tariff, which is the most important tariff for everybody concerned here, to make sure the vulnerable people get a good deal moving forward. So who's going to discuss this and who's going to ask these questions if you know, at the very last, for all convenience, always happens on a Friday. Friday afternoon, the news hits, everybody goes away for the weekend, has a great time, come back on Monday, and then all of a sudden all this has to be dealt with. And the only losers, if this deal is allowed on Tuesday, will be gas customers. And gas customers have had too bad a deal for the last 5 years now. You know, and the only carrot, of course, they dangle this carrot all the time about this rebate, which we should be entitled to anyway. It shouldn't even be a carrot. But once that NERA report came out back in 2018, 2019, and said that we gas customers were getting a very, very bad deal here in the Isle of Man, that should have been said that we were going to get that anyway. And now they're using that as a carrot to say that the only way that we can get a rebate is if we have another useless deal with Manx Gas for another 5 or 10 years. And all I'd say to gas customers is don't accept it. The government have to look after our interests better than this. And if you want good regulation moving forward, you've got to force the government to impose regulation and an independent regulator on Manx Gas and all other utility companies and transport as well. And that's okay. All I have to say.
All right, Barry, good to hear from you as always. Thanks for being with us today. I'm guessing your Friday, you didn't want your Friday to get underway like that. Thanks for that. We will have some details of that on Manx Radio News as the day goes on, this proposed deal from Manx Gas as well. So students coming back to the Isle of Man, I just wonder what your thoughts are. Linda said Tier 3 in the UK states no movement in or out of the area. So how does that affect sailings, especially to Liverpool? Tier 3 in Liverpool and Tier 3 in Lancashire from tomorrow. I'm sorry, but Helen said there seems to be many more people putting on social media that they want more people to be able to come to the Isle of Man and make it easier so they can see family. Well, there are lots of people who would love to see our families in various parts of the world, but we accept that it isn't possible at this moment. If we all pull together, we'll get through this without putting anyone at risk. Then we'll be able to see family and friends, but safety comes first. Just think of others, says Helen. Well, you know what social media is, don't you? Text, email or call. Let's have a look here. And H said David Ashford got his gong for doing his job exceedingly well. Says that. This is the thought about David Ashford getting an MBE. And Brian yesterday said that he kind of thought that David Ashford was only doing his job.
All the people in our health service that are on the front line who have been handling or worrying about the potential for life or death COVID hanging over them get a badge, and somebody doing their job gets an MBE. It bloody stinks. The next thing we know, I suppose the Chief Minister is going to be given the Victoria Cross, is he?
26 minutes before one, a note in that said, Andy, God help us, or heaven help us, shall we say, when the students come back, that they've proven in the UK they can't be trusted. Well, not Manx students, surely. We're welcoming them back with open arms. Time to reuse the COVID hotel at Mount Murray. Owen dropped a note in to say, can't we bring that snooze box back? You know, the one they used to put on the old prison at the back of the TT. Bring the snooze box back and use that as a self-isolation. A few days ago, do you remember we were talking about COVID, about road paint on the Isle of Man and how the road paint was getting very thin? Well, we got in touch with the government and we've had a response from the government about what's happening with road markings. And apparently it is true, they don't do it in the winter. They don't put down road paint during the winter. So we asked them, is there a schedule of maintenance for road markings? And the answer was, road markings are checked as part of the regular safety inspections that take place across the Isle of Man. Primary routes are inspected monthly. District roads are inspected every 3 months. Local roads every 6 months. And access roads every year. So primary monthly, district 3 months, local 6 months, access roads every year. We asked them, who undertakes the work? Well, the work is undertaken, said the government, by Highway Services. The Department of Infrastructure has up to 3 teams of road liners in the summer months, and they perform other duties in the winter when it's not often possible to put lines down. We asked if there's a certain standard applied by the department to decide whether road markings are safe or not, i.e. if stuff is just wearing away, and in particular if you drive down Glencrushery Road towards Quarterbridge Roundabout from the Bray Hill end, you'll notice on the left-hand side that there should be double yellow lines. Well, they're mostly disintegrated. Now, does that mean people can park on Glencrushery Road? Because in some places the lines just aren't there. Well, the answer was the main criteria is that road markings have to be clear and legible, and the priority is given to stop and give way junction markings, and also the public plays an important role in keeping highways safe and in good condition, and you can post issues. There's an email if you want to post an issue with road markings or anything else. It's the email address is reporterproblem.im. Reporterproblem, it's all lowercase, all one word, reporterproblem.im. If you want to get in touch with the maintenance of road markings or anything else that is to do with highway services, that's reporterproblem.im if you have something to report. Paul dropped a note into the man in line. He says, test, 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 trace, trace, trace. I think you should start letting Manx-born Manx passport holders back to the Isle of Man for Christmas to visit their families. I think it's immoral. It may be illegal to refuse a Manx passport holder the right to return the land of their birth, says Paul. Well, that's the situation at the moment. If you've been off the Isle of Man for, is it 2 years? You no longer have the right to come back because you don't qualify as a resident. You sign an intention to leave notice, don't you? And once that's signed, after a certain time, you can't come back. But Manx passport, Manx-born people can't come back to see friends and relatives. Good afternoon, Howard.
Hey, Andy. How you doing?
Good, thanks.
Good. You were talking about the road markings. In the Anagar area, I don't know. Well, it is in lots of other areas. The speed bumps that are in what they call home zones. There's one up there at by the school of Allergiel going in through that way. There's no markings on those. And over a year ago, I asked them in the Anagar area if they could put the white triangles back on the markings around the Anagar Road area. And they said, oh, yeah, we'll look into it. We'll have somebody come up and do it. Well, it's taken over a year, and I believe it could well have been one of the recently elected MHKs who's brought it back up again. And I noticed about a week or 10 days ago, only half of the speed bumps have been repainted, because these are a man-made physical obstruction across the road. And if somebody put an obstruction across the road, they should mark it. And that's what these are. There's a triangle, because they are, in some places, 4 or 5 inches. One that comes into Anacor, they actually had to put tarmac either side of it because it was too damned high.
Yeah.
But I noticed there, well, say a week or 10 days ago, on the way up past the pub, past the shop, and up to the top, they've painted the white markings on the speed bumps, but they hadn't painted the ones on the downside over on the Castletown Road side.
I just wonder, Howard, is road paint expensive? Are they on some sort of economy drive?
I think they're just trying to recoup their losses on the promenade. That's one way. They've spent that much money and wasted that much money. The DOI seem to be past masters at wasting money. And they are cutting back on the little things, the vital things, while they have these little programs that they want to do. And somebody is in the DOI, has had a little afternoon, say, we'll do this. And we got some tarmac over, let's do that. And their idea now is doing all the housing, where around Douglas they're doing like Selborne Drive and places like that. Very little traffic. But you go down Bucks Road now, and it's where the gas was worked on from Rosemount down to Prospect Hill, you need a, an off-road vehicle to go down there now because of the potholes, and one of them must be about 4 inches deep. I know it's a busy thoroughfare, and I know the promenade's shut, well, to a degree, but that there is an obstruction. But going back to the paint, they don't seem to be painting very much around the island at all. They say they got three gangs, and they used to be out on a regular basis, and you could see them doing the work, and they would do it regular. They replaced the tarmac on the corner by the Heron Hotel, but it must have been 6 months before they put the white lines down, and they were double white lines on that corner, which represented a hazard, and they never put them back. They are now, and going up through Farm Hill, Stevenson Way, they resurfaced all that, and it must have been 3 or 4 months before they put any white paint down again. So somewhere within that jurisdiction, somebody, again, is sitting on their hands.
It just seems strange, really, because you wouldn't have... I don't know anything about the cost of paint for roads, but it can't cost that much, surely.
Well, I don't know what... I'm not au fait with it. It's probably... a special paint. You used to buy what they call road paint. It was quick drying and had a different consistency to normal paint, which wouldn't last 5 minutes on a road. Plus, in lots of cases, it has a reflective element so that when you're driving along at night, it will pick it up. So it is a special paint, and what it costs, I do not know. But that is part and parcel of our road network, and that is what they've always done. But one of the things I noticed, and I came back down there, yesterday, down the Glencrutchery Road, if you get the sun in the right direction at this time of year, where they blanked out the cycle and bus lane and put the other bits in, they've used a tarmac, a bitumen, to cover it up. But that is a glossy bitumen. And when you're driving down and the sun is shining on, it gives the look of having actually white paint back on the road as though those markings have been returned.
Oh, it's been reopened. I see.
Well, I came down there yesterday and it's farcical. It is. I've never seen anything so stupid in my life, what they've done now. They've done a half job on it. They haven't put it back to what it was. They've just painted and removed some of the new bus lanes that they put in. But that paint, that tarmac they put down, which blackened out the white paint, is a reflective paint in a sense when you get the sun in the right direction. Instead of using a matte tarmac, they've used a glossy one, which at the right times, it gives the impression of actually being road markings there.
Okay, Howard, thanks for joining us today.
Thanks, Ian.
All right, good to talk to you. I want to go to Brian's with us now. Good afternoon, Brian.
Good afternoon to you. I was listening to that old chap there just talking there, and a lot of sympathy with him. I myself am disabled, and I've been waiting now well over 2 months for a disabled sign outside my house.
2 months?
2 months, yeah. And I was down the office not so long ago, I asked them about it. They said it's going to be at least another 6 months because they're so busy. So.
Well, that's not much use, is it?
No, it's not. No. So I have a job trying to get a parking space here where I live. But that's a score. Not they said they're that busy, but they can't be busy in the promenade because they're not paying anything down there. So where are they busy?
So you've been waiting 2 months, and they say another 6 months.
That's correct. Yes.
Crikey. All right, Brian. Thanks for calling us.
Okay.
All right. Good to talk to you. Thank you. And Peter's with us. Good afternoon, Peter.
Hello there, Andy. Regarding the writing on the road,
yeah,
or the lack of it, I've just come down from Annika to Quarterbridge, down Newcastle Town Road, and all the road signs are barely visible. Now, what's the point of inspecting it every month? And you can't have much more of a major road than that. What's the point of inspecting it every month if you don't do anything about it?
And what's the state of play? What state's the paint in there?
Well, it is visible, but half of it's gone. It's just wear and tear. I'm sure the cost of the paint's negligible compared with the cost of the men and the traffic lights and everything else. I suppose they're doing other things, but it's no good saying we inspect them every month if they don't do anything about it.
I mean, what, I don't know, lots of people have commented about this and just said, it looks a bit tired, and as an island, if we can't organise road markings, it just looks a bit, well, almost third world.
Well, you would call our roads third world full stop, wouldn't you, really?
Right. Okay. Thanks, Peter.
Okay, mate.
All right. Drive carefully.
They need to get the paint pot out. There's so many stop signs, white lines that are just fading.
Here's another thing. So if double yellow lines crumble and fade away, does that mean you won't get a ticket if you park there?
They need to get the paint pot out. There's numerous stop signs that are fading. There's white lines that are very poor. And I just think that would help with the safety rather than the... reducing the speed limit.
Call 66 13 68. Text 166 177. Manx Radio. Email studio@manxradio.com.
Mortgages made easier with HSBC. Thanks to our upgraded mortgage service, you could get your first mortgage or move an existing one for a better rate, all without leaving the comfort of your own home. Search HSBC Mortgages or ask about our range of mortgages at your local branch.
Your property may be repossessed if you do not keep up repayments on your mortgage. All mortgages are subject to status and eligibility criteria. Visit the HSBC website for full terms and conditions. In the Isle of Man, HSBC Bank PLC is licensed by the Isle of Man Financial Services Authority and is a participant in the Isle of Man Depositors Compensation Scheme.
When it comes to building and DIY supplies, shop where the professionals shop. Haldane Fisher for concrete blocks to roof trusses, timber to tiles, doors to panel pins, boilers to bathrooms, drainage to guttering, and everything in between. Get the job done with the right products from Haldane Fisher. Visit our stores in Douglas and Ramsey, or find us online on Facebook. Proud to be on Ireland.
Feel right at home with Haldane Fisher.
Ho, ho, ho! Here at Ramsey Garden Centre, we have Christmas covered. Walk through our magical Christmas wonderland. See Dancing Norbert, fabulous new decorations, lights, indoor and outside for all occasions. Baubles and beads, trees, real or artificial, gift ideas and a few surprises at Ramsey Garden Centre. Christmas starts at Ramsey Garden Centre's open evening on the 28th of October. So come along to Albert Road for some cake and mulled wine.
Looking to reduce your carbon footprint and your energy bills? Nexium can help. With our exclusive Isle of Man heat loss software, we can identify the key heat loss areas in your home. As fully qualified installers of ground and air source heat pumps, solar energy, and the island's providers of Isonine spray foam insulation, let's make our island greener with Nexium. Visit homeofthefuture.in or call the Nexium team on 48 47 47.
It's a Radio Caroline North weekend this weekend, and we got the best music from the 60s, 70s, 80s and into the 90s. We're sponsored this time by 121dates.com, and we have guest DJs Grant Benson and Paul McKenna. We also have virtual money to give away in our competition. Join us this weekend online and 1368 AM.
Manx Radio.
The Man in Line. Daily interaction, debate and exchange of ideas. Broadcast on Manx Radio.
Just a quick note, students in Ramsey are learning how to perform CPR and use a defibrillator for Restart a Heart Day. It happened this morning. It was originally created in 2013 by the European Resuscitation Council. October 16th, today, is now a day designated to raise awareness of cardiac arrest and CPR. The resuscitation team's going to be at the Sea Terminal and Strand Shopping Centre in Douglas tomorrow, giving you the opportunity to learn how to perform CPR on a dummy. And also, late lunch is going to be live at Ramsey Town Hall today, finding out about Restart a Heart Day. Not connected, but John Kaneen's 80 today. Our own John Kaneen, the folk show host, our national treasure, is on a happy birthday today, 80 years of age. We don't play music here, but just imagine Pete Seeger in your ear as well. Andy, good afternoon. Personally, I think all Manx students should be made to stay away from the Isle of Man, or if they do come back, they need to be tested. They could bring COVID to the Isle of Man, and we'll lose a lot of the ageing population, says Ian as well. The newspaper suggests students in a Tier 3 area, says G, will have to quarantine for 14 days before being allowed to travel out of their area to go home at Christmas. They then have to isolate for 14 days in the Isle of Man. It's asking a lot of them to quarantine for a month at Christmas as well. A note in, hi, good luck in getting the students to isolate for 2 weeks on the return to the Isle of Man. Well, I would say the students and certainly parents and family will kind of crack the whip, don't you think? Does the Manx gas deal alleged that free gas for MHKs is kept in place? Oh, this is... Some people are very delusional. If you can prove MHKs get free gas, please tell me. This is... Too close to the fire. Students can be trusted. Has everyone forgotten that all Manx residents have so far... all Manx residents have so far failed to self-isolate on return, have been 36 years old, and more than that. David Ashford deserves his MBE. His steady leadership is an inspiration, and he was still on call to answer emails at all hours. He did far more than his job entails. Is it true what you say about the road markings? They need to go to Specsavers. Well, you do wonder about the state of coronavirus on the Isle of Man. And I still get emails and texts and people saying this is all a complete hoax. It doesn't exist. So let's just cast your mind back. Last week, do you remember we spoke to Rhys Donnelly at King William's College? And he told us the story of his stepmother.
Our household don't actually know how she came into contact with it. It's possible that I got it off one of the rugby trips.
What were her symptoms?
So she just had a very high fever, loss of taste, loss of smell. Her breathing was a little bit affected, I think, but nothing too heavy.
How did you feel? It didn't freak you out or anything, did it?
I was a little concerned because obviously you were hearing about the whole hospitalised cases and everything, and around this time it was when the island had the first deaths. So it was quite a scary experience, but at the same time, I did feel a bit safe as well. I was scared for our general health.
You seem very calm about it now.
Well, yeah. Thankfully, it was just something that we had for a couple of weeks, and then it was gone.
Some people say it's a cold. It's nothing worse than the flu.
Yeah.
You've obviously experienced the nuances of it now. Yeah. How would you explain that to someone?
I suppose it's a luck of the draw. I suppose some people get it really badly, and some people get it mildly. But it's not something to be underplayed. You see in news that people are just discarding it as it's a hoax and stuff like that. And that, I personally think it's completely wrong.
And when did her taste buds come back?
A couple of weeks after she was cleared. She had a lack of taste for about 6 weeks after she was like diagnosed as not having it, not diagnosed, sorry, when she was cleared of it. And it was gradual, you know, it was slowly you can start to smell really strong smells, but only like fractionally. And then towards the end of the 6 week period, she had a full sense of smell.
The Man in Line with Andy Wint.
5-1 on Manx Radio. Lots of texts, and that was Rhys talking about his stepmother and the symptoms. Parked in Douglas, says DS, on faded double yellow lines, the traffic warden informed me no ticket could be issued as the road markings weren't clear enough. Tell me where that is. I'm a father of a university student. There are Manx children, not visitors, are responsible. My son's isolated and will isolate when he returns. And if he returns, he'll isolate again. I think don't paint all young children with young people with the same brush, says Tony. As I always say to our painter and decorator, says Michael, it's the cost of paying him, not the paint or the wall coverings, that is the expensive part as well. Thank you, Michael. It'd be good to know exactly how much road paint costs, though, don't you think? There's nothing psychological when you see new road paint. It just looks... makes you obey the signs more, don't you think? Tell Brian the Chief Minister does deserve the Victoria Cross for keeping the island safe, says Sue. I see the DOI subcontractors are replacing a great many paving slabs on North Quay at present. They've been broken because of the cars driving over them and parking on them, more so at weekends and evenings when parking wardens are off. This is a waste of time unless something is put in place to prevent parking on them, says Paul. That's it for the Man in Line this week. Remember, out of hours, 682-631 or maninline@manxradio.com. Thanks to Barry Redfern, producing this week on the Man in Line. Back Monday lunchtime at high noon. Have a great weekend.
W-I-N-E.